Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Is Arizona State a football team?
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Dogpod, your home for fans of the University of Washington Huskies tackle football team. What a great day to be a Husky. Sparty was in town, and we sent him home packing 39-28 UW. Probably not as close as the score would indicate. UW debuts number 18 in the AP poll. We got to start a Pac-12 play with Stanford coming in town this week for a 7:30 showdown at Husky Stadium. Pac-12 showing out in some places and in other places looking like hot garbage. We got Mitch. We got Law Dog. You guys ready?
Full house, baby. Woof.
All right, let's do this. Law Dog, take us to that beautiful place, Husky Stadium. Walk me through it.
Ah, the beautiful shores of Lake Washington. You know, the Huskies lose the toss in this one, but what do? They get the ball and go 77 yards in seven plays, just off to another great start. They capped off by that 47-yarder down the sideline to Jalen McMillan. Penix finds Jalen Polk for the first of three touchdowns at 7-0 Washington very quickly. Then our old buddy, our non-buddy, Jeremy Bernard, grabs the kick off for Michigan State and fumbles.
Fumble risky.
But the Spartans get it back, but the crowd was fired up. Defense comes out and stops Michigan State early here. They keep them to 13 yards on five plays. Bryce Behringer, their punter, quietly pretty awesome, uncorks a 64-yarder into the wind there. Huskies get it back, though. Very, very questionable roughing the passer call. You remember that really early in the game?
But I'll take it.
They will take it. They get down to the 30-yard line. They come up to 4th and 5. And you guys, Peyton Henry, I thought he was going to come out and kick here, but the Huskies get the conversion on 4th and 5. Keelan DeBoer does not like kickers, punters. He doesn't like to kick the ball.
No,
he does not like to willingly give up the ball. Then they get down to 4th and 1 on the Michigan State 1-yard line. Dear God, they go 1 for 3 on 3rd down on this drive. They're down at the 1-yard line, but the QB sneak doesn't get it done. Huskies turn it over on downs again. Could go up 10-0. But on the very next play, they catch a break. Jalen Berger kind of tripping up on his lineman's foot in there, gets up going down in the end zone on his elbow. The officials didn't get it right, but the replay confirmed a safety. It's 9-0 Washington early. Ew. Crowd fired up. All right, the free kick goes out of bounds. How does this happen, right? Huskies are in business again at the 50-yard line. So this time they go 6 plays, including a nice 27-yarder Jack Westover. Cam Davis punches it in. It's 16-0 Washington. I mean, guys, the route was on. It was on. Mm-hmm. Crowd is into it. Huskies get a huge 3rd down sack here from Voye Tanufi. They force another punt. Dom Hampton, you just kind of see it bouncing near him, just grabs it and kind of leans forward 6 yards, gets a little return there as it's going to the sideline. I thought that was a heads-up play. Mm-hmm. Penix goes 3 for 4, finds Tua LaPapa for his first touchdown, 22-0 Washington after they botched the snap on the PAT. You figured Michigan State would eventually get it going here, and here they did, 75 yards on 15 plays. Peyton Thorne really airing it out, and they kind of are, okay, we're going to turn to the air a little bit more. They cut it to 22-8 after they get a two-pointer there, but they leave a minute 26 on the clock. Mm-hmm. Josh Jackson gives you kind of his best return of the game, 33-yarder out to the 35, and then Penix goes 16 yards to Polk, 10 yards to McMillan, scrambles for 5, 17 to Culp, 17. Hey-o. Jalen Polk, one more score before the half, and they are in control at the break, leading 29-8. Penix was 18 for 24 at the half with nearly 300 yards and 3 touchdowns at the half.
Yes.
Spartans come out and get a score to open the second half. Then they go for a weird two-pointer there. Come up short, so it's 29-14 Washington. I guess Mel Tucker, you know, he doesn't like kickers either.
Nope.
Huskies answer, though, right away. I think we knew that it was on right here. They came right back, right? Penix finds Jalen Polk for that 53-yard touchdown at the beginning of middle third quarter there. 36-14 Huskies. Then Cam Bright, another big sack for the Huskies, forcing them into a punt. But the Dogs finally had to punt themselves for the first time. This was now late in the third quarter. And then the Spartans, they decide, okay, it's 3 touchdowns. We got to start going for it here. They go for it on 4th and start of the 4th. And the Dogs stop them and get the ball on the 24-yard line with this 3-touchdown lead. But this is the most frustrating moment of the game, of a very unfrustrating game. I was frustrated at this point because they could not get into the end zone on 4 tries from the 2-yard line. I was just thinking the whole time, like, a field goal and we go up by 25 points. Like, yeah, I didn't get that. I mean, a coach who hates kickers, I mean, I get it, but we're not playing Madden. Like,
right.
Michigan State, like, take your 25. They actually get a break, though. Jerly Servin picks off the first pass, get the ball right back, and then they do end up kind of settling for that field goal, 26-yarder from Peyton Henry. And, I mean, guys, the fans started to file out of this point at the beginning of the fourth quarter, and then that's when Michigan State decides to make things a little interesting. They get a quick touchdown, going 70 yards and 228. Mm-hmm. They try an onside kick. The Huskies go 3 and out. Michigan State goes another 75 yards in 107. And now it's 39-28. Just over 5 minutes to play. They run another onside kick. Huskies grab it. They do run a minute of clock here, but they still go 3 and out. I was actually surprised we were throwing the ball so much here in the fourth quarter. That was not a Chris Peterson-esque clock management at the end.
No.
But they're able to run enough clock. They punt it back to Michigan State with 4 minutes left. The defense finally gets the stop, and the Huskies win at 39-28. Their first win over a ranked non-conference opponent in Husky Stadium since my senior year against Michigan, guys.
Ooh, that's been way too long. That's wow. Ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Wow. Wow. This was fun. The night was absolutely electric. Tailgate was packed. Stadium was packed. So freaking loud inside there. Mitch, what'd you like about that offense, man?
Yeah, I mean, they know what they're good at. I think that is starting to come out to bear, you know, to Law Dog's point. You know, at the very end, they weren't running it that much. They're still moving the ball. They're still throwing it around. Penix is finding a variety of receivers. And
nine,
I think that's
different
okay.
Receivers.
Yeah, I mean, they're starting to have an identity, right? And that's okay. I think, you know, it's not traditional, but like, you know, it's, I don't know if you call it an air raid or what, but they're getting in stride. You know, you have to love what the offensive line did from a protection perspective. Penix looked super comfortable, like very, very comfortable. The way he was moving around and just distributing the ball looked fantastic. You know, the other thing too is, guys, this is kind of neat. It seems like every game so far, Tua Lalapapa has had a nice reception out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. You know, like a significant play that has been, you know, like he had a touchdown, right? Several touchdowns, right? And so that seems like that's kind of starting to spark a little bit, which is great. But the receivers played great. Yeah, there was a couple things here and there, maybe a drop or two. But boy, it just feels like it's a new receiver each week. Clearly, there are some really nice synchronicity between Penix and McMillan. That's really starting to show up. And then Polk just went completely bananas. So, like, what a great week.
What, now, a couple follow-up questions for you. So we didn't see Jackson Kirkland talk about potentially next week, but still, like, believe it when I see it with him. A lot of chatter about on those going for it, you know, twice and then not being able to punch it in. Should we have seen Richard Newton? A lot of chatter about that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the way I'm looking at it is in the stands, I was pretty frustrated about that second one to Law Dog's point. You would have gone up on by 4 scores, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, look, like this is a fairly young coaching staff, right? How long has Grubb been an offensive coordinator? What, 3 games? Was he an OC in Fresno State? I can't remember. Yeah, he was. Okay. So, all right. So he's been doing it at Fresno State, but like, hopefully that's a growing moment in a big time game where you have the luxury to make that happen. So, you know, we'll see if they can turn the corner, but like for the most part, pretty impressive from a coaching staff perspective to have these guys ready to go like that.
The stuff he's doing though, Grubb, where you can tell on watch the DBs, how quickly the DBs that in all 3 games are yelling at each other because of missed assignments. Who's got that guy? Who I thought it was you. He's on an underneath route. Who's got that guy over the top? They crossed us up, this little mesh underneath. And a lot of that is like that. It's not that's grub, you know.
They're designing great plays.
They're designing great plays, and I mean, look, we didn't have Polk last year, but a lot of the same characters were there.
Well, Polk is there
for what, a game and a half?
Yeah. Well, I think the passing game. I mean, it's ranked in the top five in the country right now.
Unreal.
I mean,
500 yard game.
We've got 1,000 yards through the air in three games, and I mean. So there's absolutely nothing to complain about. I do think you look at the pass blocking has been incredible. Penix has not been sacked. He did take that hit, which was absolutely not a roughing penalty worthy hit. But other than that, he's been untouched. But I think you look at this run blocking and it's just leaving something to be desired. I mean, they are just not getting it done on the ground. And I think that's probably why. That they just are like, okay, this is what we're good at. We're going to air it out. And I mean, look, if you're going to put up 39 points against a Big Ten opponent, you're going to win plenty of games.
We're picking nits here, but at some point in the season, you're not going to have a lead like that. And you're going to be bunched up within the 10 and you're going to need to punch it in. You're going to open up a big ass running lane and punch it in. And I think we saw with Michigan State that they didn't have these wide gaping holes like we did. But you know, I mean, what an offensive freaking performance, man. I mean, just unreal. So fun to see. Let's talk a little defense. Look, so all up, they hold Sparty to 40 yards on the ground. I mean, what more incredible. Do you want? What incredible. More do you want from the line? Jalen Berger, you know, who had been balling out, 27 yards on 13 carries. Our old buddy, Jarek Brassard, you know, who followed Mel Tucker over there from Colorado, 3 yards on 4 carries. I'm sure the free balling guys are loving that. 1.4 yards a rush. Just wow. Going into it, like Fatui Tuitele, he played 48 snaps, man. They're just asking so much of him. I mean, he's great. He and Thule. Voy got that sack. He got one penalty that I'm sure DeBoer had words for him. But those guys, that's your rock right there, man. MJLA played strong as well. It seems like Jeremiah Martin's the best edge rusher we have, which is crazy to me. Those are your starters out there. Savelle and ZTF playing about half the snaps. Lots of quarterback pressure. Lots of quarterback pressure. I feel like Peyton Thorne, he did have a little bit of a nicer pocket. And I think too much on a few, if I'm going to nitpick here, too much was asked of our secondary a little bit. Like there was times when he had a lot of time to throw. But I love that pressure that's coming off the edge. Tough to miss Perryman and Asa Turner, man. Asa Turner and Perryman. I mean, wow. Like having those guys out. Now, people backfilled quite well, but I think the Asa Turner one was a surprise to us. We didn't see that coming, and we don't know if we're going to get it back next week and missing Perryman as well. Alex Cook, man, he's got to be the feel-good story of the year. Six-year senior, 9 tackles and a TFL. So I thought Cam Fab, he filled in pretty well for Asa Turner, and Mish Powell, he looked real strong in both pass coverage and I think in run support as well. Dom Hampton sliding into that Husky role, breaking up passes. Julius Irving, that clutch pick, man. Little concerning, he was hobbling a bit towards the end of the game, which is like we're at a point now with that secondary where we can't afford much more.
Need the dudes.
And we're going to talk about it later. We're about to play a team that's had 2 weeks off. Cam Bright really showed out, man. Between him and Alfonso Tupitala, the linebacking core somehow is a strength. Those two are playing 62 snaps each. Carson Bruner, Chris Maul, those are the other guys. I think Danny Haymooley only played like 1 or 2 snaps, so we're not seeing as much of him. But like ultimately, we were so concerned about the linebacking core, but they played really well. All up, look, what more do you want? I mean, most of the yards that they gave up were at the end of the game when it didn't really matter. Just clutch play all around.
It's interesting that you say that, BT, because like I thought a lot of the second unit that came in looked really fast and really disruptive. I thought Savelle Smalls had a fantastic game. Mm-hmm. I mean, it looked like he was really making a lot of plays. They had a count for him. He had some good minutes. So did Bruner. So did ZTF. And so, man, I think from that edge rush and those linebackers, that's really starting to come true as a piece of strength, which is pretty cool. What did you see, Law Dog?
Stunt play on defense where they basically have Jeremiah Martin just bull rush the tackle and then ZTF using it as
underground
on the call. Yeah. Right. And he, I think he got a hit, if not a sack on that play. I think the defense you weren't going to learn anything about this defense in the first 2 weeks. I just think you just were not going to. And to see, you know, what we found out was, yeah, this team's ready to stop the run. I mean, Michigan State, you know, is they may not be Georgia or anything, but they're a good football team with a good offensive line and a good running game, and they basically neutralize them. I think the pass D is leaving something to be desired a little bit, but the pressure that they're getting on the quarterback, you know, and, you know, you go for big plays. We've definitely been getting turnovers and whatnot. So I think this defense showed me something, and I'm actually, I look at the next five games and we'll get there. We'll talk about it a little bit, but I go, you know, I mean, I think this team's ready to play with each one of those five teams.
We just didn't know anything coming into this game, and they showed what they could do against a team who had to completely alter their game plan based on what our defense was doing to them. Because they didn't come in with that plan. They're going to be a pass-heavy team. They tried to run, and they couldn't. Amazing. Lots of special teams. Lawdog, talk to me about that, because this was interesting from a special teams game.
Yeah, I mean, it was and it wasn't. I think, you know, one thing that they definitely switched up is Grady Gross, the walk-on kicker, has taken over on the kickoffs. And, you know, I mentioned that low line drive from Peyton Henry, you know, in week one. And, I mean, you know, we haven't seen that since then. He did get a touchback. He got a fair catch. And, I mean, the longest return was only, I think it was 23 yards. So the coverage was there on the kickoffs. It just felt like, okay, we're a normal – remember what we've been talking about? I just want to be like a normal team. Yeah, I mean, we don't need to tackle them inside the 15 every time or anything. I just want to be a normal team on kick coverage, and it seems like we're getting there.
Who is it that just absolutely blasted the return? What was that? Was that Bruner?
I think it was Bruner.
Bruner got one of those. Yeah. No, and they had some. The coverage is improving. They've laid some big hits, you know. And Michigan State, I don't think really, you know, had much in the way of elite returners or anything. But I do think that was a positive sign. On our side, return wise, I think Jackson's actually been solid. I mean, that 33 yard kick return at the end of the half. I mean, that was a nice spot for that, right? It gave us a shorter field to work with at the end of the half there. Oh, yeah. And he got some actual yardage on all his returns. There were no mistakes, you know, like there were Jeremy Bernard on that one fumble for Michigan State. So I think the kick and the coverage and the returning has been okay. Jack McAllister on the punting, I think he's just okay, in my opinion. He's not really, you know, we've seen better. I think we'll see as the year goes on, but I'm jury's a little out for me on that, on him. Peyton Henry, we're now on the third head coach that won't let him kick the ball outside of 45 yarder. So, yeah. I mean, I think we don't have a kicker that can kick that length. And of course the coaches are going to say the right things. And he has been automatic on those close ones, and on extra points. And he was automatic again on Saturday, but I think, you know, special teams wise, I do think, and then, you know, there was that botched snap on the first PAT or the second PAT. You know, those things happen. But overall, you know, they played well enough to win. They didn't make any huge mistakes. They were playing with a lead most of this game. So that was a way they really could have let Sparty back in the game. And it's a good thing that they held tough.
Yeah, they looked strong. What a freaking game. I mean, this one is going to go down in memory, as you talked about how long it's been since we've beaten a top 15 Power 5 conference team at home. And this one's going to go down in the books. And we hope that this is a sign of something really special to come in the next couple weeks. But we got to take it one game at a time. This week, Stanford rolls into town, boys. Stanford and UW have met 92 times on the field. Both have had 10-game win streaks against the other. Lifetime series, you guys know. 44, 44, and 4. We are freaking tied up with these tools. Let's get that winning record back. UW picked up that gritty 2013 win last year in Palo Alto in a year that we didn't have a lot to be thankful of. But the Cardinals have won 6 of the last 9 all up. This season, they come up with an extra week rest on the rare week 3 bye that they got.
Yeah.
So look, they should be healthier, less dinged up, and they had an extra week to prep, whatever that means. Stanford started the season with a 41-10 beatdown of lowly Colgate, but followed that up with a home loss to then number 10 USC, 41-28. I would argue it was not that close. They come to town. Lawdog, what should we look for with this Stanford offense? What are we prepping for?
So this is not the Stanford offense of Christian McCaffrey and Bryce Love and, you know, guys like that. They haven't put up, you know, that kind of yardage, those kind of big plays that they, you know, were doing several years ago. I think this offensive line has it, you know, they always recruit well. They're going to be solid, and you know what they're going to do, right? You know exactly that they're going to run the ball on us until we prove we can stop it. I think that's what's going to be so interesting about this game is watching the UW Stanford matches when Jimmy Lake was on the defensive side of the ball, where he just said, no, we're going to play how we play with the two deep safeties, and we're going to play our two down linemen, and we're still going to try to stop you. And David Shaw said, okay, I'm going to just keep running counter, and then I'm going to run power, and then I'm going to run counter, and then I'm going to run power. And we've watched a lot of Stanford games bleed us slowly to death in that way. And I think that this team showed me on Saturday that they are going to try to make this team beat them through the air. And I think that is absolutely the move in this week. I'm excited to see this defense against a Stanford team that has, you know, has been able to control the clock and control the ball against Huskies, even in the height of the Chris Peterson era at times. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, those six of nine wins, those are some recent ones that are there. You know, but they've got, like, Tanner McKee, 528 yards on two games, three touchdowns, three interceptions, so he's thrown some picks. And some of that was in desperation play against USC. And they got a couple receivers, Michael Wilson, they got a few others that they could throw to. But you're right, we tried to do just what we did to Michigan State, is make them do what they don't want to do. Mitch, what do you think about that Stanford defense?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say because, you know, there's not a big resume for this year of a book of work. But if you take a look at the last game against the Trojans, right, they give up in the first quarter three touchdown passes. All right. Now, granted, it's Caleb Wilson, who's very good. But the first one was a 5-yard TD pass. The second one was a 22-yard TD pass. And then the third one was a 70-yarder. 75-yarder, right? Yeah. And so you start looking at this and you're like, wow, like Caleb Williams, really, really good. But is Penix, the way he's been playing lately, that much of a drop-off? I would argue no, right? Mm-hmm. Look at time of possession in that last game. USC had the ball for 30 minutes and 33 seconds. Stanford had it for 29 minutes and 27 seconds. And so I think this is going to be a scenario where, again, the Dogs got to play to their strength. They don't need to try to establish the run in this game. That's just not their strong suit. So what we were talking about earlier, they need to let Penix cook, baby, and distribute that ball like he's been doing and try and torch that backfield, which, you know, so far SC had some success in doing so.
Yeah, you know, Stanford playing Colgate in week one, I mean, that's Portland State. That's honestly Portland State. You know, they're in the Patriot League. And, you know, they've actually given up five sacks this season. And they do have Emmett Smith Jr., who's putting up almost 7 yards a carry. But they're just not what they once were on the offensive line there. So I think that's an opportunity for our defensive line that's been able to get pressure for 3 weeks. This is going to be, I think, you know, the next big test for them is to get that pressure, get Stanford off the field, get the ball back to Penix. And if we do that, this game's going to look a lot more like 2016 than it will 2019, BT.
I love it. Saturday night, 7:30 on FS1, the Dogs favored by 12.5.
Wow.
People are noticing. I mean, you know, look, we're not saying it, but there's Heisman talk. People are talking like, is Penix a Heisman candidate, which is nuts. Like,
well, you just beat Michigan State by 11.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
and,
I mean,
and looked better than 11 doing it.
Yeah, so. Stanford is coming off a bye, and, you know, they've played us as tough as anyone.
That's right. Yep. Yeah, this is one of those teams, like, going down to the zone of schools that just makes your heart ache as a Husky and makes you feel a little bad. But, hey, look, from what I've seen out of this team, I expect great things on Saturday night. I expect a packed Husky Stadium that's super loud. We can get that W.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a huge litmus test, guys, because, like, let's look back over the years. When we beat Stanford, typically some good things happen. Typically, I would say, right?
I mean, every year we beat them, we won the North.
Yeah, absolutely, right? And so if Penix shows up in this game, and, you know, I think the worst case scenario is we start stalling out on drives and blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. But if he shows up again and puts up like Madden-like numbers again, then you start getting real excited into what this year could entail.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And see how they travel. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is you got him at home. We're in a 4-5 year where we have 4 conference home games and 5 on the road. And so we coupled that with 3 non-conference at home where you've gotten off to a 3-0 start. You did as well as you could have done. These conference home games are crucial. We're going to have to win all 4. I mean, because looking ahead, it's Stanford, it's Arizona, it's Oregon State, and it's Colorado. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, show me a game in there we can afford to lose, because your road games, going to the Rose Bowl, going to ASU, going to Oregon, on the road for the Apple Cup, I mean, these are crucial that we hold serve at home.
This is the week. I'm excited. Husky Nation, let's get out there. Let's get loud. Even though it's a night game, and I know a lot of people have problems with that, I think Husky Nation's ready to show up, because there's a lot of excitement about the program now. It felt like last week, like, hey, we're back. It didn't take us, you know, this wasn't a rebuilding year. This is a we're back year. Love it. Let's talk about the rest of the Pac-12 before we close shop. Been pretty crazy so far. So through 3 weeks, Pac-12 was 24-9 in non-conference play. They were 16-16 last year at this point.
Wow.
I mean, it's huge, because think about, like, with these wins, think about how much more bowl money is coming in. How many more Pac-12 teams are going to be coming to bowl games? Not only like how it looks, but let's talk about what happened in this week. Bright and early, 11 a.m. on Pac-12. Remember, it was South Alabama at 2-0 UCLA. I watched a fair amount of this up working out in the gym. UCLA was favored by 16. They eke it out 32-31 in front of a mostly empty Rose Bowl. They look like hot garbage, man. Lawdog, what'd you see?
Well, BT, they busted my 4-team teaser I had this week. I was 3-1, but UCLA.
Ooh, wow.
Remember I said last week, there's probably something I don't know.
Just can't pick who it is.
With this line, but it's like, whatever, 9.5 or whatever. Give me the Bruins. With the 6-point tease in there, I still lost this one because it took a last second field goal for UCLA to win this game. I got to say, I was just kind of smirking at these results because I know we're going down there next week. And those wins in LA have been few and far between. I want to get another one. So to me, this UCLA team is kind of, I want them to be all hype. I want them to be 4-0. And, you know, I want our team to be like, no, we are the new sheriffs in town coming into the Rose Bowl. And by the way, we may never get to play in the Rose Bowl again. So here, we're going to leave our mark. We're going to leave our mark on it right here.
Let's call the last, maybe the last conference Rose Bowl appearance by the Dogs. But yeah, man, they look like, I mean, just completely out of sorts and hot garbage out there. Next one, Mitch, let's talk about it. 11:30 on NBC. Man, who had this? This was, remember, 2-0 Cal against 0-2 Notre Dame. Irish were favored by 10. Cal showed up, but the Irish outlasted them 24-17. Man, the Bears missed a lot of chances. We're on the wrong side of what was kind of a BS offsides call by some ACC officials, man. Wow, this was a tough one for the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, that's a chatter. You know, before this game, there was a lot of talk about how Wilcox does really well establishing a solid game plan, especially with Notre Dame's coach, like a lot going on there, a lot of noise. Really liked Cal in this game. You know, it feels like, man, I feel for Cal because it feels like that, you know, Jake Locker Notre Dame game a little bit. It's different, right? But like some calls that could have gone the other way, you know, a couple plays here and there. But man, talk about the Pac-12 really showing up in a nationally televised game on NBC, where not a lot of fans expected them to. Really pleased to see that. Them show up and kind of ball out against Notre Dame.
Oh, it's tough. And I'm sure for the guys that visited out there, I mean, shout out to Gumby Bear, man. That's tough. Tough ride home being that close.
We've been on the other side of that one too.
We've been on that bus ride back from South Bend. It's tough.
Oh yeah, it's a long flight home. 12:30 on Fox, man. It was then number 12, 2-0 BYU coming into Autzen against number 25 Oregon. Ducks win big, 41-20. What'd you guys see?
Well, I mean, I didn't catch too much of the game, but what I saw was all the chatter after the game. I mean, this was important for the Pac-12. Let's just be super direct. The fact that Washington and Oregon can both get top 25 wins on the same weekend, the bell cows of what will become whatever of the Pac-10 or whatever it's going to be moving forward, is a really important deal. We needed Oregon to win that game from a conference perspective. But how did they immediately just step right in to a pile of crap with afterwards all of these reports of like anti-Mormon chants going on in the stadium? Then they have to apologize to BYU. What a mess.
You can't market and hype your way into being classy, Oregon. So yeah. I hope you're listening, because that's going to be an important lesson for you. They were up 38-7 going into the fourth quarter in this game. They absolutely dominate. I think it's time for us to just – I mean, BYU, I get it that they have hype. I think it's largely based on that COVID season when they played absolutely nobody and won 10 games, and everybody thinks that they're Power 5 now. They're just not there. I mean, we played them 3 years ago and smoked them in the Vegas Bowl, you know? I think they are
– blew them out by what was like 40 at home. I mean, it hasn't been close, you know?
They are still a ways away. I think they're going to have a rude awakening in the Big 12.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. And I get on one side, you're saying, look, this is a couple of bad actors on the Oregon side, but there's a history of this kind of behavior. And you had even recruits that were there saying, yeah, we just left. My parents didn't feel comfortable, and so we just left. You know, I mean, this kind of stuff is things that, like, you know, you have to police a bit. And we police it. And shoot, I'll tell you, on Saturday in Husky Stadium, I had to have words a little bit with the student section next to us, who's screaming at some Michigan State fan sitting next to me. And the guy's there with his baby and his wife. Like, fellas,
yeah.
Call, you know, but police that stuff yourself. Police it yourself and knock it out. And I think that there's a level of that type of behavior down there that we've all been witness to, that is going to come back to start biting them in this age where all that kind of crap is on film. And it's going to come back and bite you. You got to clean it up.
I was personally pushed into a urinal at Autzen Stadium in 2006, BT. And yes, was my mouth running a little bit hot? Sure. Sure.
It's not the law dog, I know.
But that doesn't justify a bathroom assault.
Yeah, it's a little absurd, and it's coming home to roost for him. I'll tell you what, though. We're going to get into Oregon State in a little bit here, but what you want to talk about, I think BYU goes 0-4 against the Northwest at this point. I mean, it's things are going to get silly. All right, so let's take a log off the fire here on the Pac-12 and talk about 12:30 on ESPN2. 0-2 CU at 2-0 Minnesota. Gophers favored by 25. 49-7 Minnesota. Lodog. Wow.
Well, I want to find out how many points they're laying against UCLA this week. I think they might finally be enough that I might be tempted into taking them here. But, I mean, you know, Minnesota, we talked about it. They're not the Minnesota of years past. I figured this would be a blowout. And, I mean, Colorado, Carl Durrell already basically on the hot seat. The AD's having to come out and put out statements and stuff. His buyout drops big time in a couple of months. I do not expect to see him back.
It's brutal, because that is such a great program. It really is, right? So it's just terrible to see that. So hopefully they can get that figured out, get a new hire in there, and get that program. The Pac-12 needs that to be a strong program too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sure does. I mean, so much potential there as well. Anyone that's visited that campus and knows what reputation it has from a recruiting perspective, what it could be. 2 p.m. Other side of this Pac-12, 0-2 Colorado State at 2-0 Wazoo. Cougs favored by 16.5. Woo, got to say it. They look good, 38-7.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting the offensive rolling, right? Like, that was the big thing against Wisconsin and even against, what was it, Idaho beforehand. It looks like they're finally coming around. The offense is starting to click. They got a good defense so far. Not to look too far ahead, but it's going to be real interesting. I'm going to have my eye on that Oregon-Wazoo game this coming weekend. That's going to be a fun one to see what happens.
Well, we're starting to get into the fun of it in week four.
So our buddy Rob Bowron at Beta Rank, associated with Wildcat Radio, he's got the Cougs defense as number 6 in the country right now.
Wow. I mean, dude, yeah. It's just unreal. Super feisty. I mean, that's the one on the Wisconsin game for sure, right?
Mm-hmm.
5 p.m. on Pac-12, it was Montana State at Oregon State. I couldn't even get a line on this, but I'm sure whatever it was they covered. Beavers 68-28. That is a lot of points. I mean, just the Beavers are scary at this point. I mean,
they're legit this year. I mean, they took care of Fresno. That Fresno State game that they had was excellent. It was a very, very good game. Jonathan Smith goes for it on fourth down to win the game at the very end of regulation. They're playing with some moxie this year, man.
Okay, well, talk to me in 4 weeks. They play USC. They're at Utah October 1st, at Stanford, and then home against the Cougs on October 15th. Let's talk again in 4 weeks.
That's right. That's tough. Yeah.
That's tough.
They got a tough slate ahead. A couple of the late ones, San Diego State at number 14, Utah, Utes 35-7. San Diego State, who made us look a little silly the last couple of years, just struggling against the pack.
Yeah, I mean, their quarterback was 5-for-16 in this game. I mean, Utah defensively, I think we knew they would be the part. It's just, it's always been a question of whether they could put together an offense. And, I mean, they've been doing that, you know? I think Cam Rising is the guy. They're definitely going to be – I mean, I think we're lucky that they're not on the UW schedule. And if our magic season is able to continue all the way for the next 9 weeks, we could be seeing them in a Pac-12 championship game.
Just fun. And if we don't see them, let's talk about the next one. 7:30 on Fox, Fresno State at number 7 USC. Trojans were favored by 12. They'd win big, 45-17.
Yeah, and Jake Haener got carted off the field in this game. What is it? Logan Fife, his backup, actually goes 11 for 12 for 140 yards, but they couldn't get into the end zone after that. Right. And USC was just all over him. You know, again, another game from SC where they look really good, but I think they haven't hit the hard part of their schedule yet either. So I think we'll see what that's going to look like.
I was pretty bummed about that. I was really looking forward to a UCLA Fresno State type of game from the year before. And I was just super bummed for Haener to go down like that, because you know he was jacked for that game.
He kind of got he gave the rare admission during the week that he's like, I wanted to go to USC. They wouldn't even touch me.
That's half of those recruits at Fresno State, right? They're all out of SoCal, many of them. Right. And, you know, SC, UCLA doesn't sniff many of them. And so, you know, they were jacked for that game. And so it was just kind of a bummer. I was really hoping to see that, you know, just kind of play out. But give credit where credit's due. SC, you know, they're kind of rolling right now. But I agree with Law Dog. They still got the lion's share of their schedule ahead of them.
In Corvallis, they'll home against ASU. Home against the Cougs and then at Utah. So I mean, if they're going to trip up, I could see it happening in the next 4 weeks.
Yeah. They look solid. And shout out to our neighborhood buddy, Lof at the Tupu. Flew him down there to lead the team out onto the field and just look jacked and having a good time. It's good to see that the new ADs out there actually embracing some of those Trojan legends that they turned their backs on the last couple of years. So pretty cool video if you haven't seen that. Couple of late games on FS1, 2-0 North Dakota State. Again, this is that like trap game just. And they didn't fall into it. 1-1 Zona with a gritty 31-28 win.
I was impressed by this one, guys, right? Look, North Dakota State, like they win all those FCS championships, right? Or whatever they are. Mm-hmm. And they're a good program. They're well coached. The over under at the beginning before the season for Arizona's wins were 2, right? They're there. They're right on it, right? They're going to get one more. I'm really impressed with what Jed Fish has done with that program. Yeah.
Well, they beat an FCS team by 3 points. Granted, it was a good one. I'm glad they got the win. But
yeah,
jury's out. We'll see. I mean, Arizona, I think, you know, still has plenty to prove. They got pretty well handled by Mississippi State. I think we're kind of hanging our hat on that they won big at San Diego State, who, as BT mentioned, has been getting creamed by the rest of the pack. So, you know, they've got Cal on the road, then Colorado at home. They could be looking at 4-1 going into Oregon.
I'll take them in the Territorial Cup today. You know, let's get into that. Wow, what a stinker. 1-1 Eastern Michigan at 1-1 ASU. ASU favored by 20 in an embarrassing 30-21 loss. Look, the fireworks weren't really what happened in the game, but what happened after the game.
So my boy, Chris Creighton, let's not forget about him, Seattle native and Eastern Michigan head coach, takes him to a bowl game for the first time in 25 or 30 years or whatever it was. But yeah, they're still 8th place in the MAC. So, you know, let's not get too excited. Yeah, I mean, they pushed around ASU all night. And Herm Edwards said as much after the game. Was this before or after he had been fired after a conversation with the university president on the field? I don't know. But he was fired less than 24 hours later. And I think, you know, we've been kind of hinting at it. The dumpster fire is, you know, picking up steam and more flammables are going in there and it's going to get hotter. And it's basically overflowing at this point. ASU is going to be looking for a coach. They always have an interesting opportunity there. And I'm really curious to see what they do with it. But Ray Anderson, their AD, remember, was Herm Edwards' agent.
Buddy, yeah.
And it's like a lot of the media down there is already speculating. I don't know if Anderson's going to make it either. I mean, you got to think if you're the university president, like, oh, you hired your best buddy, you know, and former client to be our coach. And we're under investigation and we're getting shellacked by Eastern Michigan on our own field. Like, yeah, I think I'm done with all of you guys.
At some point, there has to be some accountability.
Wow. Absolutely. I mean, it's amazing because there's talent down there, guys, right? Like, and when they get that stadium rocking, it is ginormous, right? It how so many fans. I think our guy, John Wilner, just put the nail on the head. He's so good where, you know, he was writing about looking forward to this weekend's games. And he's like, if you're Utah and you're playing Arizona State and you're watching that game film, I don't know if you guys saw his quote, but it's like him in line at In-N-Out ordering a double-double animal style.
Take your pick.
That excited.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I mean, and we know all the headlines. The great experiment is over, like what they're calling it. Oh. Like, you know, I'm going to bring NFL, you know, talent to this. And he had, look, Herm had some moments. He had some big wins. And he had some times and seasons where he was playing for a Pac-12 South. You know,
they never won 9 games.
Yeah.
And they're not going to come close this year. I think it's been a disaster. I think it's been a terrible thing for them. And that we don't even, I mean, there was an article in The Athletic this week about how Herm Edwards doesn't even understand the NCAA rule book. And it's like, yeah, you're under major investigation. Like, that's something maybe you should read in your off time in the summer.
CEOs don't have to worry about that. This is the new model.
That has pretty much blown up in everybody's face who thought that was a good idea. We laughed at it at the time. And yeah, no, BT, I'm going to take a victory lap on the dog pod on September 19th. That's right.
he's calling it. He was right. Look, it happened. It was about to. I mean, and it's a combination of losing to Eastern Michigan along with, as you're right, the worst of it could be yet to come. What kind of head coach is going to come into that? They're going to ask their questions about what's going to happen with the investigation and what type of infractions will be headed to him. So, look, tough end cap to the Pac-12 night, but I think overall, as we talked about, the overall record and of course those big wins against those top 10 teams, I think it's great for the conference. Week 4, this is where it starts getting fun. This is the start of real conference play. Early Saturday, no Thursday, Friday night games. Pac-12 Network, it's 3-0 UCLA against 0-3 CU. All right, fellas, let's see who wins this thing. We got 5 games. Let's start with Law Dog. You give me the line. Yes, that line.
I'm going to say UCLA -26.5.
-26.5. And Mitch, all you got to do is go over or under that. What are you thinking?
I'll go under.
Under. Mitch gets this one
20.5. 20.5.
All right. Wow. Hear me out. Hear me out. You're at altitude. It's 11 a.m. Pacific time. All right. Colorado is like hungry and desperate for a win. And UCLA is just like, I mean, I am 20. I really wanted some more points on that, but I think I'm taking the Buffs.
I mean, the only way the altitude helps here, Law Dog, is if they're actually playing on Everest.
We've moved the game to a neutral site. This one's going to be tough. I would have thought it'd been bigger as well. And I guess give me the Bruins on this one. 1 p.m. on Big Fox is number 15, Oregon at 3-0 Wazoo. Wazoo probably, maybe they should be ranked at this point. If I'm a Coug, I want them ranked, and they're not. Number 15, Oregon. Mitch, this one goes to you. Give me the line.
I'm going to say, Oregon by five.
Over. Okay. Over.
You think it's you think it's bigger? Bigger line there? Okay. Yeah, Ducks by six. Real close. Ducks by six.
Cougs have played them tough.
Yeah, they have. Cougs have played them tough. This is over in the Palouse. They're going to be fired up at 1 o'clock. I don't know. This isn't going to be interesting. See, we're going to see if that defense is for real. I like a closer game. Give me the Cougs on this one. Here we go. Let's keep it going. 2-1 Zona at 2-1 Cal. 2:30 on Pac-12 Network. Lawdog, what do you think of this one?
Give me the Bears by 3.5.
3.5. Okay. Mitchums, what do you say?
I'm going to go over, but I really like that line. It's not going to be by much.
You guys are right on the head here. Bears by four. wow. Tight one. This is a stay away for me, but I don't know.
Yep.
You know what? Give me the Bears. Okay. I think the hype on Arizona is a little, it's just a little too much for me right now.
Okay.
But isn't this a classic Wilcox kind of Bears letdown? This would be a classic Cal Bears trap after what they did at Notre Dame.
Hugh Admiral Akbar, guys, it's a trap on this one. Yeah. Number seven, USC at 3-0, Oregon State. This is probably the best one of the week. If I'm gonna watch another game, or a little bit of a game before ours tips gets going. On Pac-12 Network. Okay, Mitch, this goes to you.
Oh man, I'm gonna say USC -9, but I like the Beavers in this, even where the spread's at.
I was actually thinking exactly 9, but I was also thinking maybe 9.5. But shoot, I think he's right. I'm gonna go under.
Under. Yeah, you guys are getting close on this one, but this one's a little tighter than you think. So Oregon State. So this one's Trojans -6.5.
6.5. Okay.
6.5 on this one. So I don't know. I'm not giving you those points that you wanted, but I'm surprised. I mean, if you told me this preseason, wow,
I think we're gonna find out over the next 4 weeks who's got the horses to run with SC's offense. And the Beavs have played great defense, but they have not been tested like this. Granted, SC hasn't gone on the road yet, Lincoln Riley. I do like a close game, but I think 6.5 is enough for SC to cover.
Yeah, I'd agree. At 6.5, they could win by a touchdown.
Other late game, and we're going to force a national television audience to sit through this one. It's number 13, Utah at 1-2, Arizona State in the post-Herm era. All right, this one's to Law Dog.
I'm going to call it by a Utes by 8.5.
I'm going to go over that, and I'm going to take it because ASU is just a dumpster fire.
Yeah. Mitch, you got this one, 14. Two touchdowns.
14,
woo-hoo. Two touchdowns. I thought it was going to be bigger than that.
I got to say, I kind of like the Devils. I like it after a coach gets fired. That's like a nobody believes in us. We got, what about us kind of thing. I like the Devils on a 14.
Lawdog, I'm bringing a right. 20 spot to the game. We're going to put that in somebody's pocket. Somebody leaves with 40. Give me the
Utes. I'm on every dog this week, okay? Except for the real dogs and the Trojans, okay?
I love it. Hey, so it's a great week of conference play coming up. We're into it now. How much more fun is it this season with the Huskies winning 3-0 with that monster win against Michigan State? We got Stanford coming into town this week. We saw what the Huskies are made of last week. Now we're going to see what happens in conference play. And hey, you know what? There's room on the bandwagon for a bunch more fans. We'll take you at this point.
Hop aboard.
Let's get it done. Let's beat that Cardinal. Get that win streak back. Can I get a go, Dogs?
Go, Dogs.
Screw you, David Shaw.
Let's do it.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Is Arizona State a football team?
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.